Hey folks, this is Audacity and Loving Life, and I'm your host, Sean Matos. I'm going to spit out a podcast real quick. I got to get to work. I got to get ready for work. But I wanted to talk about the 12 laws of karma. And, you know, people think, first of all, that karma is a bad thing, when in essence, it's really, like I said, what's on you is on you, and what's on the other person is on the other person. And usually it has nothing to do, what they do to you has nothing to do about you at all. It's got to do with, about them. And karma's not necessarily a bad thing, because it's basically teaching us that what we put out comes back to us, and that it teaches us how to be a better person. And knowing that, you know, whatever energy or intentions that you have against another person or situation or whatever, that is coming from you, number one, is going to come back to you. So, anyway, so I was thinking about that today, and yeah, because like my mind goes 10,000 miles per minute all the time. So I was thinking about that, and I looked it up, and I wanted to find Muffin. You ate that already? Jesus. Like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. I gave her a treat and it's like gone. Anyway, I found this thing. It's called The 12 Laws of Karma, Step-by-Step Guide to Understanding Cause and Effect. Most people have a basic concept of what karma is. I'm putting my readers on because this is going to be a good one. You've likely heard the phrase, what goes around comes around. Maybe you're particularly intuitive and that helps you understand karma better. I don't know if that's even better anyway. But what really is the law of karma? And what do you need to do in order to make sure you don't attract bad karma? In total, there are 12 laws of karma. Learning how these laws work can help you live in a way that creates good karma. You will be able to create more positive energy and get rid of bad karma too. What is karma? In Sanskrit, karma translates to action. But this can lead to some misconceptions. Action doesn't always help to describe what karma really is or how it applies to our lives. But the laws of karma are about positive or negative balance. Uh-oh, hold on a second because my alarm's going to get off any minute. It is. yeah, let me shut that off right now because otherwise it's going to go wackadoodle on me. But the laws of karma are all about positive or negative balance, and they come from our words, thoughts, and deeds. In essence, everything we do creates corresponding energy. That energy comes back to us in some form or another. Difficult karmic experiences catalyze learning and growth. Later, this can lead to good karma if we work towards positive change. Everything we do is linked to our karma. Our karma is how we treat others and how we see our role in the world. It is in the way we use resources and how we develop our characters. But come here, guys. You want me to come here. You want me to sit down and spend time with you? Come here. Okay, karma can be reviewed as a cycle of cause and effect. More importantly, karma is about action, not results. It is a philosophy of how to live our lives so that we can truly become the best versions of ourselves. Karma teaches us how to live our most fulfilling life. Since the future isn't set in stone, we have the power to change our life's path. Through our choices, thoughts, and deeds, we can choose right now. What are the 12 laws of karma? Everything is energy. Our thoughts and emotion are energy in motion. That's what I believe in. That's my religion, basically, you know, is knowing that energy does have an effect on your life, from people to people and sentient beings like animals and everything else, nature, you know. So our thoughts and emotions are energy in motion. Everything you do creates corresponding energy, and it will all come back to you in some form. Ultimately, you create either positive or negative consequences. Think of these laws of karma as guidelines. Follow them as you go throughout your daily life. They can help you understand how karma really works, and following them will help you create good karma throughout your life. Number one, the Great Law. The Great Law is what most people think of when they think of karma. It has also been called the Law of Cause and Effect. The Great Law tells us that in order to get what we want, we must also embody those things. Muffin, come here, babe. I don't have much time. If you're going to cuddle, come here. I can't chase you. Come here. Oh, she's so difficult. It's similar to the Law of Attraction. Whatever you give out is also what you will receive. This can either be positive or negative. So if you want love, be loving. If you enjoy financial abundance, be generous. If you want honesty in your relationships, offer authenticity and honesty to those around you. This concept is also similar to what you reap you sow. Number two, the Law of Creation. According to the karmic law of creation, we need to be active participants in our lives if we want to get what we desire. You cannot simply wait for the things to happen to you. Instead, you should aim to surround yourself with what you want in your life. Look at your environment for clues about what you need. A major part of understanding this law is seeing things outside of ourselves. These external things teach us about what's going on inside of us. If life doesn't look the way you want it to, if life doesn't look the way you want it right now, look within. Ask yourself what needs to change. Ask yourself what needs to release. Create space for things you desire to show up. Don't wait for great things to fall into your lap. Go outside and create them for yourself. If you're surrounded by chaos, then there is internal chaos that you must address. Surrounding yourself with what and who you want to be. Then you create the future that you desire. Also consider how you are using your skills, talents, and strengths. Are you creating something that only benefits you? Or are you benefiting others through your actions as well? Number three, the Law of Humility. Buddhism also emphasizes the importance of the Law of Humility. This karmic rule reminds us that you need to accept the true reality of something before you can change it. It is based on the principle that you must be humble enough to accept that your current reality is a result of your past actions. If you constantly blame others for the things you have created, you're out of step with reality. If you see anyone who disagrees with you as a villain, you are not paying enough attention. If you find that you fall into these categories, you may also find it difficult to make the necessary shifts. But consistent self-reflection helps you make the most out of this law. Start with where you are. If you want to change anything, you must have a true understanding of what and where you are starting. Accept your reality with humility. Then actively work to change what needs to be changed. Reflect on where you are in life. Then humbly work towards what you want instead. The Law of Growth is number four. The Law of Growth is similar to the sentiment of wherever you go, there you are. Its message is that you need to expect a change in yourself before you can expect it from the world around you. You only have control over yourself. Therefore, how you use this control shapes how the universe will respond to you. Focus on your own development before trying to control or change others. Let them come to their own conclusion about what needs to change. This law also asks us to look at the things we cannot control. Look at how you deal with accepting this fate. The focus should be on you. The focus should not be on controlling others or things around you. Growth starts within us. You cannot change the world around you before you start growing yourself. And growth should never stop. There are always new things to learn. There are always ways to improve. There are always skills and traits to develop. When you grow and change, you are your core, life will follow. When you grow and change who you are at your core, life will follow. Maybe even the world will follow. But you must change yourself in order to change your life. Come on, Muffin, you want to go outside too? Number 5, the law of responsibility. This is another law that many people think of when they think of karma. It is helpful to remember that you are the source of what happens throughout your journey. What is happening around you is a mirror for what is happening within you. The law of responsibility instills the sense that you are responsible for all of your life experiences. I think that's bullshit, and I'm going to tell you why. We're not responsible for what other people do to our lives, bring to our lives, you know, out of the blue, things that you don't expect, stuff like that. You know, we have to also realize that just because we live this life of the belief of karma and stuff like that, that other people don't. And other people live their life differently and view their life differently. Like I said, there's all kinds of religions and beliefs and everything, and people try to push their beliefs on you along with laws and rules because that's what they believe. And in essence, also, people are evil, and people will do evil things and say evil things to you, or, you know, and you can't control that. As much as you can control who you are, there's people that went to school and kids that went to school and got shot and got killed. So I don't believe that everything that happens to us is under our control or a mirror of us, because that's a mirror of them, not you. Hey, I'm going to school today. You know, I don't have any worries. I'm a fucking kid, but I'm going to get shot down by somebody who, you know, can't control themselves and doesn't know how to deal with the chaos within them, you know, and it has nothing to do with us. So I really don't believe that, you know, to 100%. Absolutely believe it, some of it, but I don't believe 100% because we go out, there's people that go outside and get shot and killed, you know, people that, you know, get murdered by a serial killer. How's that their fault or whatever, you know? They went to the grocery store and got kidnapped, and, you know, there's pedophiles picking up innocent children. So, no, unfortunately, we don't live in that world where everybody believes that their deeds and their actions are karmic, and that, you know, what they're doing is about them. They don't even have that kind of insight, you know? But anyway, like the law of growth, the law of responsibility aims to teach you that you should be looking to take ownership. And this means ownership of both the good and bad things you create. And I do believe that. Do not constantly look outside of yourself to find excuses. Remember that you own what happens to you in this life. It is a great reminder that what happens to you is because of you. This law eliminates the opportunity for you to look outward to find the cause of all your problems. You're the product of the choices you make. You take ownership of what's happening. Don't make excuses. Deal with the bad. You cannot control everything that happens to you, but you can take responsibility for how you respond to those things. And I am, like I said, with the bartender situation, my reaction to her actions was not good. You know what I mean? Like I said, my mouth is, if I can control what I say in reaction to what people do to me and say or whatever, then I would probably be a perfect human being. But unfortunately, I'm not, and I probably won't ever be. But and I don't blame everything on her for our situation either. I take my responsibility and accountability, and will if she ever wants to sit down and talk, and you know, we can apologize to each other and sort our feelings out or whatever, like two adults. You know, that's cool. And anybody else that I have a problem with, you know, like I was straight up with Dan about I don't want to babysit adults, you know, when they're drinking, I'm over that or whatever. So at the end of the day, too, you also have to verbalize and communicate your boundaries, what you like and don't like, and everything. If you don't communicate, you're leaving people to assume, and most people will either assume the worst or assume the best and say, oh, yeah, this is hunky-dory, when it's not. You know what I mean? So, and that's all falls under the law of responsibility and accountability, is that other person too has to account for the fact that their communication skills aren't good. And because of it, it created a chaotic situation between you and other people or whatever, because you didn't verbalize how you were thinking or feeling or whatever. So the other people are left to assume or misunderstand or whatever, you know. And then also, actions speak louder than words. So if you're, you know, taking something from somebody and you're not saying, I don't want this or whatever, then your actions are saying, well, I do want this. You know, I am in, like, Flynn with you in this situation or whatever. So, you know, it goes both ways, whatever. So the law of creation, number six. This law emphasizes the interconnected nature of the past, present, and future. It reminds us that our control over the present and future can help obliterate the bad energy of our past. This negative energy can be from our current life or previous lives. See? I believe in past lives. And see, Kelly? Past lives. The law... Soulmate. Twin flame. The law of creation also asks us to take time to redress our karmic wrongs from the past. And I believe that. I believe that some people come into your life because you had a past life together and you did not, one or the other, was hurt by the other person or whatever, or the karmic cycle didn't end between you, or... you know, you have to redress the situation so that there's a positive karmic result from the situation or whatever. So I do believe that we have people that we come across that are twin flames, soulmates, past life people that things haven't been addressed properly, or you know, you're supposed to be together, but it didn't work out that last time, you know, because of certain things that were going on in each other's lives or whatever the case may be. And it's all about growth and learning, and you know, actually, like, you could be absolutely in love with somebody in a past life and things happened where you couldn't be together or whatever the case may be, you know. And it doesn't always mean that somebody's your soulmate, twin flame, or somebody from your past life is in your life now, that you're going to end up together, but it might be a lesson that you had to learn or finish learning in order to move on to somebody else or another situation and not really be with each other, but both get the lesson that needed to be learned from the situation that wasn't in the past life or something, you know. So, who we are today is a result of your previous actions, and who we will be tomorrow will be a result of your actions today. We are all interdependent. Everything you have experienced in the past makes you who you are today, and it influences who you will be tomorrow. This includes things that you have done and people you have interacted with. Our interactions with others also have an influence on their lives as well. The law of focus. According to this law, you will do better in life if you follow a single train of thought. Our minds are not equipped to follow multiple trains of thought. And even if we do, we do not follow each idea with equal competency. If you have several important goals, try following them in a linear ranked order. Don't give each goal only a fraction of your energy. Another vital lesson from this law is to focus on your higher values. This way, you won't be able to focus on lower emotions like resentment, anger, or possessiveness. And that's what I like. And we immediately go there. We are feeling emotional human beings. We base things on what we've been through and who we had to deal with in our life or situations. So when we're faced with situations that trigger us from those past experiences, obviously the first place we go is our lower emotion, which is anger, resentment, you know, defensiveness, or whatever. I'm guilty of that. And that's why we end up, and I'm guilty of that, making the situation worse, basically. So, and it's very hard when you're in those emotions to think, oh, I'm going to think of the positive things. You know what I mean? So, focusing on too many things at once can slow you down. This leads to frustration and negativity. Concentrate on one thing at a time, and you're less likely to be distracted by these heavy feelings. We may claim to be marvelous multitaskers, but we can accomplish so much more when we focus. Try applying this approach to your tasks, goals, and thoughts. Muffin is listening intently to what I'm saying. She's taking it all in. Number 8. Scout is like, I'm going to go outside and piss and shit all over the yard and mark my territory. I'm not listening to mom read this shit. But anyway, and that's what he's doing right now. Number 8, the law of giving and hospitality. In Hindi, the meaning of karma is closely tied to this law. It teaches you that if you believe a certain thing, then you will naturally be called upon to demonstrate your commitment to that truth. The focus here is on the link between belief and practice. The law of giving and hospitality suggests that your actions should reflect your deeper beliefs. It is also about the way in which the universe will test you. Life gives us opportunities to put our learned lessons into practice. This law can also show you when you need to do further work on some aspect of your character. You must give to the things that you believe in. This will help you understand the importance of your actions. The sentiment of this law is similar to talk the talk and walk the walk. Number 9, the law of here and now. Like Buddhism, the karma is connected to the idea of accepting the truth of reality. Buddhists typically link karma to the theme of truly living in the present moment. If you cling too hard to past feelings, experiences, and beliefs, you will always have one foot in the past. Likewise, if you focus on anxiety or greed, you will always have one foot in the future. Following this law means reminding yourself that the present is all you really have. The present is here to be fully engaged with and enjoyed. To experience peace of mind, you have to embrace the present. That can only happen when you let go of negative thoughts or behaviors from the past. If you are too focused on past events, you will keep reliving them. It is recommended to get in touch with the here and now by rooting yourself with your senses. Look around the room, focus your eyes on something, blink, and say, I am here. 10, the law of change. This law is connected to the message that the universe gives us what we need. History continually repeats itself until you demonstrate what you have learned. It will remain the same until you identify what you need to do differently. Then you will create a different future. If you notice you are stuck in a loop, it is because something fundamental has not yet been addressed. Alternatively, if things around you begin changing, it is a sign that you have recently taken significant steps in your growth. Change gives you a new path so that you can create a new future. And with that, you create a better version of yourself. Free yourself from the patterns of your past. If life seems to be on repeat, evaluate what lessons you are missing. Use those lessons to help you create a new future. Come here, baby. You want to come over here? The law, number 11, the law of patience and reward. This law claims that all the greatest success require consistent hard work. This means you must be patient regardless of your goals in life. If you expect immediate results, you will ultimately be disappointed. Successes will also be minor in comparison to what you're capable of achieving. Instead, figure out what your true purpose is and act in accordance with that purpose. Enjoy the reward of knowing that you are doing what you are supposed to do with your current life. And in time, your associated successes will follow. To generate future change, you must be consistent in your karmic deeds today. Come here, baby. Come on. Stop just inching. Come here. Come on, Muff. I got no time, babe. Come on. Whatever. To generate future change, you must be consistent in your karmic deeds today. It is not good to live healthily for one day, then sabotage it the next. Consistent goals will come to fruition. It may take longer than you planned. but finding joy in the work will make the reward even sweeter. 12, the law of significance and inspiration. This is a good law to reflect on when you need motivational boost. It is also a good reminder when you start to feel like you don't matter. This law stresses that every contribution you make will influence the whole. However, small or great your contribution, it will matter. Whenever you make creative, loving contributions to the world around you, you inspire. You inspire similarly positive behavior from others. This ultimately attracts more positivity back into your life. You may not always feel significant, but you always are. Without your presence, the energy of the universe would be fundamentally altered. We all play a part and have something to contribute to this world. What we share may sometimes seem small to us, but we may make an enormous difference in someone else's life. You have been born with a specific gift, mission, and purpose. Only you can bring that into the world with your uniqueness. Authentically sharing your skills and gifts is why you are here. Final thoughts. The 12 Laws of Karma can serve as a guideline or roadmap for you. Follow it throughout your daily life and you will start to understand how karma really works. Using karma as a set of guidelines can also incentivize you. It will encourage you to be more mindful in your thoughts, actions, and deeds before you make a decision. Karma is not about doing good or doing bad. Karma teaches us that everything we do affects us or changes us and the world around us. You may hold spiritual beliefs and you may not, but understanding the law of karma helps us to see the relationship between actions and consequences. Apply these laws to find more fulfilled, productive, impactful life. There is a great freedom found in understanding how your actions work to change your life and the world around you. So, that is my podcast, and I've got to get ready and go to work. So, I hope this helped people. Look, I wholeheartedly believe this, and I have. Like I said, I practice Buddhism. It's probably more of in line of my spirituality. You know, and obviously I consider myself Christian, but not the hypocritical Christians that are rampant in this world today, really. But in combining the two, I try to be the best person I can be to other people too. And I do know the reality of karma because I've seen it in action. So maybe that's why I'm so believe the Buddhist way of, you know, really, what we do does come back to us in one way or another. And do I have lessons still to learn? Sure. I mean, was this situation with the bartender a big lesson for me? For sure, because I was going through my life giving, being good to people that weren't necessarily having the same good intentions in their heart with me. And I'm not just talking about the bartender in general, even my family members and stuff. Like I said, I was going through life with no boundaries. And when you have no boundaries, you're going to get taken advantage of. You're going to be treated wrongly by people that don't have good intentions. Or even if they don't really realize their intentions are bad and they unintentionally hurt you, it's all because you don't have, you're not showing them your self-worth, your value by allowing them to cross boundaries. And in essence, too, it is also I have to take accountability for being that giver, for being that loving person and all that. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes with the wrong people, you know, because I want to be all-encompassing, being loving and caring to everybody I possibly can when I have them cross my path in life. And unfortunately, I also have to have those type of boundaries where I have to pick and choose who should be in my life and not just leave the gates open for anybody. And that's why I tend to be a loner, because in being alone, I'm not allowing anybody in my life unless I really do care about them or whatever, or they show me in their actions and deeds that, yeah, I think I can trust this person, you know, to now come into my home or whatever, or just get that fan. Look, the bartender would have been able to come in and out of my house with the way I felt about her 100 million times because I truly did trust her. you know, who she was as a person and felt safe and at home with her. Unfortunately, I'll never know if that was true or fake. But like with Dan, when I met him and everything, got to talk to him and everything, I was like, he's like me. He is absolute, and he's been through experiences at such a young age, like I have. Similar experiences where people have taken advantage of him and stuff like that. So, yeah, I get where he's at. So, then, yeah, he's allowed in my house. You know what I mean? He's allowed in my life. I introduce him to my friends. We hang out. The whole thing, you know. We talk, not on a daily basis. Well, we try and keep up with each other a couple days a week or whatever and try and get together and stuff, you know. But, you know, unfortunately, there's people in that we cross paths with, and I have to take responsibility on how my actions might have created the situation with the bartender too. It's not just her. It takes two to tango. I get it. And I, you know, I think we come from a major misunderstanding with each other, or the fact that we have similar backgrounds and issues that if you have two people that, you know, are afraid of intimacy or that have been abandoned or whatever, then we have unaddressed issues that need to be addressed. And that can cause conflict between two people because of it, and that have the similar fucking issues. But instead of looking at each other and being a comfort for each other with those issues, we kind of butted heads, I think. You know, and then the non-communication situation doesn't help, because then it's assumptions all around from her and from me, you know, and that comes with anybody, you know, and, you know, and I know my, like I said, my biggest thing is my tongue is a sword. It really is. It's a double-edged sword, you know, so, but you look, and we never stop learning in life. That's it. Every lesson happens in life, whether we like it or not, whether we take it and we use it as a lesson, we grow from it, or we just say, oh, well, that was fucked up, and, you know, just, I'm not even going to think about it, and I'm going to move on, and I'm not even going to address it, or whatever. Like I said, taking accountability is tough. It's hard, you know, because you're admitting to yourself that I was wrong, too. Like, I admit to myself, I'm wrong. I was wrong in this situation. I was wrong in reacting how I did, or whatever. Once you can say I was wrong, now you're changing the situation, because now you're saying, you're not looking at the other person, because like they say, you can't control the other person. You can't make the other person see what they did to you or have them understand it or whatever until they understand it for themselves. And then from there, then comes the way to be able to apologize to people, to take accountability and to mend situations or to grow, so the next situation you're in, you react differently or whatever the case may be. So anyway, I got to get going. I got to hop in the shower and I got to get dressed and roll out of here to go to work. But you guys have a good one, man. Take care of yourselves. Hey, folks, I wanted to add something real quick while I'm getting dressed. And if you don't mind, I got to get dressed. But I got a friend of mine that can sit her. I think I, you know, the alcoholic friend or whatever. She consistently dogs her boyfriend behind his back to people at work and everything, and kind of deflects blame on him on everything that is going wrong with her life and their relationship, when, like I said, you know, if somebody's talking shit and everything, it's best that you get to know the person yourself before you start to form an opinion about that person. And I got to know him, and he's an awesome dude. And like I said, I give him a lot of kudos for still being with her. But the one thing I don't believe in is, and do I fall off the horse if I'm not, you know? But the thing is, don't vilify the person that loves you and cares about you and accepts you for who you are and supports you, even when you're not being the best person to them. That's not love. Like, I could never like I said, if you're with somebody and you're in a relationship, there's no way I would allow anybody to talk shit about my girlfriend or my boyfriend. And I certainly wouldn't be the one talking shit about them if I was in a relationship with them. And a lot of people do that, I noticed. But she gaslights him to death. I mean, the horrible things she says about him. And really, truly, I believe such horrible things about him before meeting him because of what she was saying about him. And then when I met him, I said, oh my God, he's fucking awesome to her. He's awesome to her kids. And he pretty much runs the whole household while she's getting drunk and fucking laying down on a couch and passing out or being mean to him. You know, or anybody else that's around. And like I said, when I took her to the bar, she was calling the bartender a whore and shit. And I had it out with her. And, you know, when you love somebody and care about somebody, you're going to stand up for them. And I was like, I'm not going to take your fucking shit. You know, like, you're not going to talk about her like that in front of me. You know? And that's what you want. You want somebody in your corner. She obviously isn't in his corner if she consistently fucking dogs him. And even to today, she said a couple things about the bartender that was, what was it, last week? And I defended the bartender, even though she's not in my life, I still obviously loved her and cared about her enough to do all the actions and effort that I did. And I still do care about her and love her, whether or not we're in our lives, or each other's lives or not. But, you know, I will defend her behind her back, too. Like I said, I want the best for her. But I'm not going to have somebody fucking dog her behind her back. Like, do I have feelings and negative feelings about the situation? Absolutely. You know, and I did say some horrible shit on a podcast. Yes. And I regret that. But, you know, I'm not going to allow other people to talk about people I love behind her back. You know, or to their face. And she's... Like, I've really majorly backed away from her because there's just too much chaos around her that she has created with her actions. And she doesn't want to take responsibility or accountability. And she absolutely is in a place where she refuses to see that she has an awesome human being in front of her. And she wants to lay blame on everything that she's creating in their relationship on him and try and vilify him and paint him as a horrible person. And like I said, I'm so glad I got to meet him so that I can form my own opinion about him and not based on her. And that's not love if you're going to sit there and vilify. And I think if he knew how much she vilified him in the workplace and all over all the time, while she's saying, oh, he's leaving me. Oh, I love him so much. He's the best man I ever had. That's the only time she realizes what she's got is when he's walking out the door. And that's what most people do. A lot of people don't realize what they have until they've lost it, until they sabotaged a relationship in some way or another. You know, they cheated or they lied about the relationship or what transpired between them or whatever the case may be. You know, then people regret, you know, they regret losing the best person they ever had in their life. And she will lose him one day because that's all she does is destroy the relationship, not only in front of him, but behind his back. So, and that's karma. That's her creating her own karma, unfortunately, you know. But anyway, I'm going to get going. You guys, I'll talk to you later.